Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Phil, who is here to speak with us about her experience of the talk and tell that we just completed. Welcome, Phil.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for inviting me to talk and tell.
To talk and tell, yes, very good. I hadn't even thought of that.
I love to tell about talk and tell,
yeah. Yes, great. Well, do tell.
Well, I just think, we just come up with the most brilliant practices, and this one is, I think, just so good. This particular one that we did this month, I mean, I just thought it was just brilliant. It just really struck a chord, yeah.
Yeah, it was neat, wasn't it, the progression of it. For folks who may not have been with us when we had an interview some weeks back before it started, talking about the opportunity and the topic of it, and that the one earlier in the year was on resistance, and that this one was on really turning our attention to presence, to this here now, which just seemed like such a perfect progression.
It was. It was a perfect progression. And just as everything on that came, every day, something I'm sure, I know I, and I'm sure we, everyone, wants to really practice, and it was such a good reminder, every morning to get this prompt and say, wow, yeah, this is something I really want to practice, and I'm really remembering to practice it today.
Right. Yeah, so if I'm following, it's, I've actually heard Sherry talk before about, what's the most difficult part of practice? Remembering, right?
Exactly.
Because in practice, we're not changing anything. We're not becoming something we're not already. And so practice is really about remembering who we are, what we are, how it's possible to be. And so I really like that description as you laid out, that you get this prompt in the morning, oh, right, I remember gratitude. I remember what a big difference that makes in my life, or whatever the topic is. We know that place, we can go right to it. We resonate with it, and then it's a reminder to hold it in our awareness through the day.
Exactly, yeah. And, the first one right out of the box, the very first prompt was just like mind-blowing. We could have spent spent our whole life on each one of them. And,
I can't remember what the very first one was, Bill. Can you remind me?
Yeah, I can. Let's see. It was about when we're practicing awareness and then when we're paying attention, it's that we are the awareness and not the content of awareness. That's huge. Because we're aware because, I'm really paying attention, noticing what I'm doing and whatever, but it's the knowing that I'm aware, it seems. It's the awareness that I'm aware that seems to make the whole difference.
I was just looking at that yesterday, that same. It's a miracle that we can be aware that we're aware. And then to have the practice to not take that personally.
Exactly.
But it's just, Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, it's like when we're, the whole thing about, when we're thankful, when we're grateful. Well, if we're not aware that we're grateful, where's the joy? The joy comes in being aware that I'm feeling grateful.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the awareness of being aware. It's
exactly, exactly. And then that piece of it of I'm not quite sure I can describe it, but I love that what you're saying is bringing it up. So if I'm not aware that I'm grateful, then we don't actually get to receive the gratitude. Then I become aware that I'm grateful, and then conditioning wants to do all kinds of things with that, right? Well. Okay, oh, good, you're doing well now. Or, well, you were grateful yesterday, why aren't you grateful now? And I like it when I'm grateful, and I don't like it when I'm not grateful. But that what it feels like, kind of where we are in practice, is getting it that there is no I who's grateful, it's just that it's possible to live in the process of gratitude.
Exactly. And so we're aware of the gratefulness. You know, that skips the eye right there. And we're just aware of the gratefulness. And I'm sure everybody has the experience of their heart just fills with more gratefulness, more gratitude.
Grateful
joy.
That we're grateful. Yeah.
And that's the same process of when we notice we've disidentified. You know, I mean, who's noticing? But awareness notices, and that's, to me, when the joy comes in. Oh, you know, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm back.
Yeah. You know what else is funny? I'm just chuckling as you're. It's so true that very first assignment, we could spend the rest of our lives on that assignment. And so I don't think I'd seen this during the weeks, but as you say that, I realize there's also a built-in training in letting go and moving on, isn't there?
Exactly.
Because the next day, there's another huge topic to look at.
Exactly. And to me, they were all seem to be kind of. That one is an umbrella one, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Just the whole thing that I think keeps everything going, because, you know, the next one I think was thankful already, saying thank you. And we really do have to be aware of that process of being aware, or this practice, I don't think, really works. At least not as well.
Uh-huh.
So anyhow, every one of them. Yeah, it's like you get up. I was always excited. Like they'd come in a little later than I get up, and I'm thinking, when are they coming? I want my next.
When's the present gonna come? When can I open the present?
This is like I keep looking.
Yeah.
So fun. It was quite fun. And there was all kinds of things. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. There are all kinds of things.
There was all kinds of things to do with them, you know what I mean? Record, the recording of what was going on that very day. And then I afterwards, you know, suddenly they were over. And so I put them all on one page, you know, copied and pasted them to a document. And they're just so it's so much fun to go back to them, and I recorded not only all at once, but just the practice parts of them, in part, you know, just the quick punch of being saying thank you and living in I don't know, that kind of thing, and that's been cycle around as a constant awareness.
Yeah. Like little, I just had an image of little reminder flashcards or something.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's neat. Yeah. And then the added element of getting to log the participation along with the whole sangha.
Oh, I wanted to mention that too. Yeah, I mean, that I just love that. And I feel like that's a really important part of the whole process. And I notice sometimes it doesn't look like there's a lot of people punching that button. But to me, it's part of a commitment, and it's part of the awareness that I'm going to remember at the end of the day. I'll wait till the end to, log in my... To do the tell part of the talk and tell.
To do the tell part, exactly. Exactly. To tell on yourself. I did it.
I did it. Exactly.
It's a celebration.
The celebration, yeah. And to add to the sangha. I mean, there's the numbers building up. That sangha doing this whole thing together.
It really does add something to it, doesn't it? That we're always building together, you know, it's always as a team, as a sangha, I mean, as a, you know, the whole thing, we're all waking up together. I wish I could quote it. I don't know if it was a Peace quote recently, and I don't even have, but anyway, it was something like that, where we're all doing this together.
Ramdas, walking and holding hands, or walking to, but it was really good, walking home together.
Walking home together, thank you. I'm so glad you remembered that. I just thought that was such a beautiful image, because we're all headed there. We really are. We're all headed there. I don't know when, you know, don't necessarily know how, but no hurry. And we're all just going there together. And by each of us doing that process, we're assisting everyone else to come along with us.
Exactly. We really are. Yeah. It's beautiful. I mean, there's nothing like this practice, and we all know how lucky we are.
We really do. We really do, and it's good to be reminded. And it's a good commercial, too, for the What Universe Are You Creating book and card set, because I believe the assignments were taken from there. So another, you know, realizing that set, that book and those cards are a really powerful, you know, tool to use if on the off chance we're not in the middle of a practice opportunity. Which we are, but
that's exactly what I like to use it for, and it's just like this, and if anybody doesn't have it, they're missing out on a lot. It is it's one of my favorite things now in practice. Is what the are you creating?
Well, Phil, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon and sharing your experience.
Well, thank you for asking.
All right.
It's always a pleasure.
It is, isn't it? Yep. Always a pleasure to participate. Yep.
It is.
All right.
It is.
Well, thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
Take good care.
Mm-hmm. You
too. Okay. Good night. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. And thank you, Phil. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing great, and you?
Great. Great.
We have something exciting coming up.
Yes, we do. Yes, we
do. So I thought Phil and Jen were going to say at the end of their conversation, okay, I'll see you Saturday.
Right? You can say it for them instead, huh?
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if this is true, but what I remember of that Ram Dass quote was, we're all walking one another home.
Yes.
Does that sound like what it was?
Yeah, walking each other home, something like that.
We're
yes.
all walking each other home.
Yes.
And that is such a... It is just such a beautiful image of Sangha, isn't it? And such a beautiful reminder that there's no one who isn't Sangha.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so relaxing, because, that image.
Yes. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So Saturday we'll all walk each other across the bridge, right?
Yes, and then back home again.
Right.
Yes. Shall I jump into those announcements then?
Oh, why not?
Okie dokie. The 14th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk is this Saturday, October 3rd. Join Sangha for a day of fun and celebration in support of the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. Participants must sign up by noon on Friday, October 2nd. And until then, take the High Five Challenge, keeping 5 commitments a day, and log them on our website, which is livingcompassion.org.
I'm so excited because we're coming up on the end of the month, you know, and we get to log September. Very excited about that. And before we move on to your next announcement, Michael, I was thinking about this earlier, or yesterday, or some darn time. So this is the 14th annual, because you just said that. That's how I know that. The 14th annual Bridge Walk. And I was thinking that wouldn't it be wonderful for the 15th annual if not only the people who are regulars, you know, those of us who are pretty much there every year, but the people who have been following this and contributing every year but haven't made it to the Bridge Walk would make it for the 15th annual.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be great? If people right now, who love the project, love, you know, are watching the kids grow up and all of that, would just put it on the calendar right now. We know it's, good Lord willing, it's going to be the first September and October, the first Saturday in October, because it always is. And so just put it on the calendar right now, 15th annual.
Great.
Fly in from all over the world, and we'll just make it the biggest party ever.
That's fabulous. That is great. I love that idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Okay.
Yeah,
what
wonderful.
Else? Sorry to interrupt, but what else?
Well, I don't think we can say too many times about that tremendous matching grant that's going to match all of the money that's raised.
Yes. Yes. All the money that we bring in for this campaign is going to be matched. I mean, the possibilities with that are just tremendous.
Yes. Yes. Amazing. Amazing.
And I know that I talked to people today, earlier today, as a matter of fact, who are saying, they're listening to voices say, well, it's too late really to do a fundraiser. And then they said, no, it's not. Doing a fundraiser. And so they just, you know, started inviting their friends and family and that sort of thing to contribute to their little project. And it's never too late. And especially with this one, I think we usually count through the end of October, the donations that come in through the end of October as this season, because a lot of people do, do their fundraiser, and then people, you know, it takes people a while to get the money to them and that sort of thing. So it may be the 15th, Michael. I could be wrong about the end of the month. It may be that it's counted through the 15th. But anyway, there's plenty of time to do a fundraiser.
Great. Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And our next announcement here, there are only 2 days left to sign up for the next quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies.
Mm-hmm.
So don't miss this weekly support for conscious, compassionate awareness practice. And the sign-up deadline is this Thursday, October 1st at 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, that's a great program. Boy, I bet that's the program that's been with us longest. There may be another one, but it's been around for a long time and has changed a lot of lives. It's a good one.
Yes, it's fabulous. It's fabulous. And a new email class, Meditating on Chakras, a Practice of Awareness of Energy, is coming up next month. Participants will explore expressing the energies of this here now through the framework of the chakras.
Yes. So I hear myself talking to people a lot lately. This is how this came about. About not, you know, if you're not going to focus on the conversation in your head, what are you going to focus on? And there is the breath, absolutely. But learning how to pay attention to the energy. Not to the content of anything, not to the story of anything, but just to the energy of life is to me just tremendously exciting. And so that's what we're going to do in that one.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Celebrate a year of deepening awareness practice and welcome a new beginning at the New Year's retreat, which is December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and all other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. If you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. All right, Sherry, you ready?
Ready.
Okay, here we go.
All right, thanks, Michael.
Sure. First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Colin from Dorset in the United Kingdom.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Very good, thank you. How are you?
You're up in the middle of the night talking to us.
I am indeed, yes.
That always so impresses me.
Well, it's taken me a few weeks to build up to it, but yes, here I am, and I'd like to thank I wanted to thank you, for all the support I've had. It was really important to ring in and to say thank you for that and to participate.
Oh, lovely, thank you.
Yes, and one of the things I've just noticed with the praxis over the months is that more and more resources are becoming available to me, and as my life is sort of more stable, I'm able to join in more, and so ringing up in the middle of the night is something I probably can do now. So that's been really 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 good thing. Perhaps I couldn't have done a few months ago. So really what I wanted to ask you about, it was about anger, and my mum got this issue with getting sort of very angry with another person, and I realised that I'm sort of recognising my own anger maybe in the other person and then sort of getting angry about it. And I've spent a long time, I think, with the practice trying to get rid of the conditioning, and now got to a place of more being prepared to accept that and sort of face it, really. And I suppose that's partly with having feeling I've got the resources now to face it. And it occurred to me that rather than avoiding this person, I should actually be spending as much time as possible with that person to face whatever it is that's going on. And then I thought, oh, that's great. I'm really making some progress here. That was a sort of change in my attitude, I think, over the months, to sort of go into things rather than try to run away from it. But I'm still finding it very, very difficult, really, I suppose. I wondered if you...
Yeah. Tell me what you're finding difficult about it.
It's just sitting in close proximity to the person, I suppose. It's like it's all my buttons are being pressed, and and it is a lot better now than it was, but it seems that everything that I'm find difficult about myself, I'm seeing in the other person. It seems all becoming all in, and it's sort of, you name it, I'm hooking it on the other person, I think, really.
Okay. Can you give me like three personality traits this individual has that kind of puts your teeth on edge?
Being critical would be one, getting angry, and maybe being anxious.
So this person is critical and anxious and gets angry.
Yes, I project, yes.
Yeah, and so then when you are around this person, you get in touch with all of those things in yourself.
That I'm trying not to do, yes.
Yes. And so what you're realizing with practice, with awareness practice, is we're not actually trying not to do things, right?
Right.
Because there's no getting through something by trying to avoid it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so which of those, it sounds like from what you said, the anger is the biggest issue. That's critical, not, it doesn't make us happy, but there we are. Anxious, well, that's a little more. But getting angry sounds like the most difficult of the three for you.
Yes. Our conversation starts up in there. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I just said a conversation starts up in the head, and then it results, it leads into anger. And if I catch it early, it's okay, but very often it kind of happens I don't catch it in time to stop it.
Which is good from my perspective, right?
Right.
Because we have a lot of conditioning that says it's kind of like, it's not nearly as bad to be a thief if you don't get caught as it is bad to be a thief if you do get caught.
Oh, yeah? Right.
So a lot of people do a lot of things, and nobody's really that upset about them because they don't get caught. Then when somebody gets caught, it's a big deal, right? But for those of us practicing awareness, getting caught or not, it's not the point. It's how we are being, right? And so with something like anger, we really do want to resolve the issue, not avoid it or repress it or that sort of thing. And
yes,
for most of us, there's kind of this dicey section in there where I'm not doing what I used to do to control it, and I feel out of control. And it's scary, and there are a lot of voices in my head screaming at me about how I am and how I should be, and I'm not, and awful things are going to happen. But for those of us committed to waking up and ending suffering, we know that the only way through something is through it. Yeah, the only way to the other side is to go through it. And so, yes, now I personally would not recommend that this, you have to spend all your time with this individual, because that would be cruel for you.
Right, yes.
But when you are around this person or in other places in your life as well, you're going to start noticing the process of repression.
Right.
So you know this stuff is there, right? These reactions are there. And yet, when you're not around somebody quite as inflammatory as this person, you somehow manage not to notice or not to have it arise in a way that is difficult for you. So how are you doing that? Right? What do you do when you're just going through your normal day not to have an angry reaction? Do you know?
Well, I suppose I'm my attention's on other things, really. And sort of being, I suppose at work, I'm sort of maybe more focused on what I'm doing and what I'm achieving, and not looking at another person or something.
Okay. And then, is this somebody at work or is this somebody in your personal life? Or
yes, there's a colleague at
work.
Yes.
A colleague at work, okay.
Yes.
So
yes,
most of the time, you're doing whatever you're doing. This person isn't there, and so it's fine. Then this person is there, and you're unable to distract yourself, or there isn't anything taking your attention away. You're having to interact with this person, and this is when it arises.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Okay, so we need the workshop, right?
We
need the workshop. So there you are. Are you sitting down together? Is that how it usually goes?
Yes.
Okay, because you said something about sitting next to them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so you're there, and is it just the two of you?
Well, it's an open plan office, but we're sort of immediately together. So,
say that again, please.
It's a large open plan office, but we're sort of sat close together in the office.
Okay. All right. Good. And so, so there you are. And as soon as you sit down, here's my encouragement. Okay. Recommendation.
Okay.
You're gonna do all this, and then you're gonna let me know, okay? So you begin to watch really closely, as close as you can, what's going on inside of you as you start moving toward this situation. Okay. Notice where you tighten and tense. Notice the kinds of thoughts that start in your head. Okay. Notice what happens with your stomach. You know, that
right.
kind of thing. Muscle tension, stomach, head, what's going on. If there are emotions that you're aware of that you would label, to notice what they are. And then that's where your attention stays. Okay. Right there
right.
with everything that's going on with you as the situation builds. Have you done that?
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And you haven't done this part of it yet, I'm guessing.
No, I think it's that way. No.
Okay. Okay. Because here's the thing that's important about this. There's something that tips it over. Okay. There's something
yeah.
that takes us from okay to not okay. So I'm going along, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right, it's not all right. And that movement, so generally or often, it's the case that I'm getting tighter and more tense, tighter and more tense, tighter and more tense, tighter and more tense, and then all of a sudden I just snap. I can't take the buildup of pressure any longer. Okay?
Right,
now, I'm not saying
yes.
that's the case with you, but that would be a good place to look.
Okay. Yes.
Hmm?
Great.
So that would be step one, because whatever is happening in your system that has set you up in this way, you're going to begin to see farther and farther and farther back. So I wake up in the morning and I feel great, and then it drops in that I have that meeting this morning, and I can feel my stomach get a little bit tight. And then I start talking to myself, it's okay, it's going to be all right, you're going to be blah, 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 blah. And everything that I'm saying to reassure myself, my stomach is getting a little tighter. Okay, now my shoulders are getting tense, so I'm getting ready. I'm going along. The voices are talking to me, just dropping in all the things that could go wrong, as those voices are wont to do. You know, what if this and what if that and what if nobody's there? Or what if somebody is and what if they say this? Or what if they? And I'm getting more tense and more tight, and I'm just going along, and then I walk out. Somebody says something to me, and I yell at them. Okay. Now,
right. If
I'm not paying close attention, the conditioned system will tell me that it was that person that caused that reaction.
Yes,
okay.
It's their fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we know that's not the case. So now we're going to back it up until we start getting to the underlying beliefs and assumptions that lead us to that inevitable explosion that is going to give conditioning more ammunition to use against us. So it builds us up, it sets us up, it does what it does, and then it uses what we do to control us.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the whole workshop.
Great. That's fantastic. I've got an assignment. Brilliant.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I think is fun about this sort of thing is that you'll be so focused on what's going on with you that it'll only be when you get distracted that you actually become aware of the other person.
Right. Oh, well, that would be great. Yes. Okay.
That would be a nice side benefit, wouldn't it?
It would, yes. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because there's no repression. There's no repression. It's just that you're not letting conditioning do to you what it ordinarily does to you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Thank you so much.
Good. Oh, you're so welcome.
Really appreciate,
you'll let me know
I
now,
really appreciate
you?
I will do, and all the best for the bridge work on Saturday.
Oh,
thank
you.
Well for you.
Oh,
thank
yes.
you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good
thank
night.
You. Good night.
Literally. Bye good
bye.
Night.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Colin. Great to hear from our British Sangha over there. Such a privilege.
Mm-hmm. I had never gotten up in the middle of the night in order to do something until the first time I don't know if it's the first time, but one of the first trips to Zambia. And we would get up in the middle of the night to call in to the radio show. Right?
Yes.
And let me tell you, that's not easy. You know, I mean, it sounds great in the middle of the afternoon. Yeah, what time we get up? 2. Okay, we should get up about 1:15, make sure everything, you know, and we're wide awake and all that. It's such a good idea. And then the alarm rings in the middle of the night. It's like, I don't really want to do that. So I'm always impressed and grateful when people do it.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right, sorry, I interrupted you.
No problem. We have another caller here.
All right, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Kevin from Chicago. How are you doing?
Hi.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Yourself?
Good. Great. Yeah, wonderful.
Good.
What's going on?
Wonderful. So I just ended a relationship with a lady over the weekend, and it was going on for a few months. And my feelings, I guess, developed more than hers. And in the time of our relationship, unfortunately, her parents both had health issues that kind of put a rut in there and kind of created a bit of distance. Although previous to that, I started off the relationship. I immediately wanted to get the heck out of there. So I did a ton of recording and listening, and I said, you know what? I know what it's like to leave. But what is it like to just stay and not listen to those voices and just invest in this new person and getting to know this person and seeing where these feelings go? And then health issues came. We had some distance, but I really kind of challenged us to stay in this and, you know, and see what we can work out together as opposed to, you know, just moving on. And then, so we ended it this weekend, and it was just she wanted to, she didn't think I was asking her the right questions, which is funny because I've become such a great listener through this practice and other things in my life. And just listening and opening myself up, not for my benefit, but just to open my heart to what is actually going on. And so I'm talking with a friend after we break up, and he said, and I'm feeling just sad. I'm feeling really sad, and the thoughts are racing. And he said, I bet you this doesn't have anything or much to do with this person, but it goes back to when you were a kid, somewhere along the line, you were rejected, and you were rejected hard. And so I did a recording and listening last evening, and oh, my God, I opened myself up to that 10-year-old kid. And I cried. It was beautiful and amazing, and I felt so light afterwards. And then just listening to myself while I'm really getting this all out, even before I did the mentor part. And then I listened back with really big compassion with the mentor. And it was so amazing, and it lifted so much. The thing I'm still struggling with is this, it seems like this just unhappy feeling. And I know there's a story behind it, and I'm doing my best to catch it, but there is this really sadness that kind of just is over. Even though I lifted a huge storm, there's just this sadness left instead of, I don't know. So,
well,
I wanted to go ahead.
Does it mean, are you grieving the loss of the relationship?
Yes, because I enjoyed myself. It awakened in me something that hadn't been there in a while, and I enjoyed our times together. And so, yeah, to a certain extent, I'm kind of caught between, what am I grieving? Is this all conditioning? Am I really sad?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, yes. Now, I can tell you this, that questioning is conditioning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you had this relationship that you not only you enjoyed, but you had made a conscious decision to commit to, in the sense that instead of just leaving when the voices say time to get out of here, you wanted to stay and see where this would go and keep your heart open and get to know somebody else and this sort of thing. So you went, we could say, out of your way, okay? You didn't just let karmic conditioning take you where it wanted to take you or where it may have taken you in the past, right? And so you really, you did put yourself into this, and you obviously want that, right? You want a close relationship. You want to share your life with somebody. And and this is the place you decided to go for that. And it didn't happen. And there's sadness with that. Right? Now, if we were all the Buddha, then we would probably have such an orientation of equanimity that it would just be a kind of, well, all right, that was that, and now this is this, and here we are. But for the rest of us, you know, it can often take a little more time to get to a place of equanimity about something like that. So yes, you no doubt, you know, there's that little 10-year-old guy, and he was injured. I would say, in the big scheme of things, probably that wasn't the first time. It was certainly a big one, sounds like, but I would not conclude that it was a 10-year-old who is experiencing the loss of that relationship.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Can you just explain
a
little bit further? Thank you.
Pardon me?
Could you just explain a little bit further? I'm having a struggle.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a 10-year-old, who was rejected and hurt and would look to you as the grown-up to take care of him and reassure him and comfort him and be a companion to him and show him the ropes and help him grow up and get past that, okay? But the grown man is in a different place in life than that 10-year-old.
Right.
And so to look at it from the point of view that this is a 10-year-old who's traumatized, if I take care of the 10-year-old, that should take care of the needs and desires and wishes of the grown man, I don't think it works that way.
Okay.
So to let the person who put himself into this relationship and wanted the relationship and really hoped that it would go somewhere really good for both of you, maybe for the rest of your lives, I would think it would be very reasonable that he would be sad about that, that it didn't work.
Right. It's just it's the fuzzy line between sadness and conditioning, you know. Is it?
Yes.
That's where I'm being caught, I guess. And maybe that's the conversation in my head that's conditioning ultimately.
That's exactly right. So. There you go. That's it. And so very often, it doesn't have to go like this, but it can go like this. Let's say it's not the breakup of a romantic relationship, but, you know, you lose someone in your life, okay, mm-hmm. someone you're close to, and you're sad, you're grieving, right? And if it's you're sad and you're grieving, then as you go around in your life through your day, you're going to forget that that person died, right? And and you'll get into other things. You'll laugh with your friends. You'll think about the future and plan. And then all of a sudden, you'll remember this loss. And there's kind of a stab that goes with it, and suddenly you're sad, right? And in my experience anyway, it tends to go that way. When it's conditioning that we're dealing with, it becomes a story. So this is because of this, and this is what it means, and this is how that happened, and why, and what you did, and what the other person did, and it's a story.
Mm-hmm.
The actual emotion, the feeling of what's going on, is very brief.
Right.
Yeah, we have the experience. By the time we start through the, you know, the voices start through the, well, because, you know, she this or that, or if you had, we're gone. We're out of real life direct experience and into a story and conditioned mind.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, I definitely am being caught a lot. In
the story?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, going back to the place of rejection, I mean, that was huge for me because mm-hmm. I've struggled with rejection, and I can, you know, tie it back. A lot of people have said that to me a lot in my life, and, you know, in a way I needed to go back to, like, when I did that the other night, it was amazing.
Yes. And, you know, you can do the same process with the guy who lost this relationship. You know, that two-handed recording exercise is great. Let him talk about what he wanted in that and what he was hoping for and what he put into it and how disappointed he is and how sad he is and you know, whatever else is going on for him. Let him have the same kind of support, cathartic experience, somebody to listen to him and understand him.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, because that's what I've been missing in all of this. So thank you so much.
Yeah, well, because I want to tie something together there before I let you go, okay?
Okay.
Because one of the ways that conditioning is able to do what it does to us is to make us believe that we are the centered presence. So in your case, so here's this guy. He's coming out of this relationship. He's hurt. He's disappointed. He's sad. And he's supposed to be the one who takes care of a 10-year-old who was rejected.
Okay.
That's too much to ask. So what you were able to do with the 10-year-old was to move into a place, I would say, you moved out of identification with the fellow who just came out of this relationship. You moved to a different place. We could say a centered place. Okay? And you were there to, it's too bad we have all the same pronouns, right? So there was there, being there for that 10-year-old. And and all that came up and all that you saw and all that you realized and let go and all of that, right? And and that was not the fellow just out of the relationship who was there for that 10-year-old.
Okay.
Can you get a sense of that?
I'm struggling. I'm struggling a little bit connecting it all. So, yeah, I'm.
You, shall I try again?
Yeah, could you?
Yeah, okay. So let's say R is the fellow who was in the relationship. Okay, he's a grown man. He has a relationship with a woman. Okay?
Yes.
And he's R. And then there's LG. He's the little guy, the 10-year-old, who was traumatized, who was rejected. It is not in the, if we ask R to be there for LG, it's not going to work. Because both of them need the same thing, and they can't provide it for one another. Both of them need a disidentified, centered presence. We often call that the mentor, who can be there for them, understand them, embrace them, all of that. Very often what happens is that people expect R to become the centered presence for the little guy. If you do that, then what happens is that R gets left out and doesn't have a chance at the same kind of healing that center provides for the little guy.
I got that.
Okay, good. Good. It's one of the ways conditioning really messes with people. Because no matter what's happening with the individual, the voices would say, but what you should do is, what you need to be doing is, what you're not doing is. And actually, it's kind of like hoping that that the cleaning person is going to fix your plumbing. They're two job descriptions, and they don't overlap. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
So that's my encouragement, is to give R the same kind of time and attention and understanding and presence and an opportunity to be with the mentor that the little guy got.
Will do.
All right.
Will do. Thank
Good
you
man.
So much. Thank
You're
you both.
You're so welcome. Take
All
care.
Right.
Good night.
You too. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kevin. Sherry, I just loved how you brought that in from different angles to look at the same issue. It's just so helpful to, get multiple lenses on the same issue.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
These are such subtle points, aren't they? They're just such deep and subtle points in practice. It's great when we have a chance to kind of take it apart like that and have, as you say, multiple looks, looking through different lenses at the same subject. So we get a sense, conditioned mind wants to make it sound as if this is all terribly simple and you're really kind of a simpleton for not being able to do what needs to be done, when in fact it is layered, 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 and very complex.
Yes.
And I would say, and I know you would say too, exciting. It's really exciting to see how complex this is, and at the same time so simple, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Simple in that the answer is always unconditional love. whatever is there, just wrap it up in unconditional love. But recognizing what's there and getting to the unconditional love, Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Fabulous. Thank you, Sherry.
Mm.
We're going to hear from our coaches program now, Sherry, and then we'll be back.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This year's theme is training to live in this here now. In any training, having a personal trainer helps tremendously. We can think of Zen Awareness coaches as personal trainers. The coaches have been trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching with any number of life issues or awareness practice in general, with special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to Living Compassion, having a coach also supports practice. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit sanghamarket.com. Go to Services, under All Categories. Click on the little monk at the bottom, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Oh, very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dan from Los Angeles.
Well, hello, Dan. This is guys night, isn't it? Very fun. Yeah. So what's going on, Dan?
So looking at having fun doing. There's a lot of avoidance and resistance when I run into work content. There's a presentation to do or something like that. Avoidance where I find myself procrastinating all weekend. And it's been a long pattern. I remember doing this as early as like 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
I get this condition, so even sooner. And just practicing with it, saw that I was hoping that I'd eventually sit down to do something and there wouldn't be resistance, which I realized wasn't going to happen. just saw that kind of living with unconditional love, it's a little bit like I exercise, you know, and you've used the analogy of a marathon. You just don't suddenly go out and run a marathon. You jog a little bit here and a little bit longer. And so what you really want was just what the little person wants is just to sit down and enjoy what he's doing, you know, get back to the original excitement that led him to this job. And just to continue the plug for coaching, just saw that during my coaching session that I can practice that. That I can actually sit down, uh-huh. And the voice started in with, "Oh, this is terrible. I can't believe you're doing this. This is never going to work." And actually, I was just kind of breathing here. It occurred to, I made a recording one time when I had insomnia that was like my favorite peaceful song with nice things said over it. I can listen to that while I work. There was a game during an at-home retreat where you did memory. You wrote down all the things you were thankful for, and you flip them over and try to play memory with that. I can write down just nice things, and every time I hear a voice, I can just slip over a card and say, "Oh, you're doing just fine." "Oh, great," and I can go back. And just practice that thing that he wants, that whatever he's doing, he's okay.
Yes. 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 So what you're saying, for people who are not familiar with this, so there you were, 10, 11, 12, already dialed into maybe later is better than now. I don't want to, and that means I'll put it off until I'm absolutely miserable and forced into it. We learn that very, very young. And I think the reason that we learn that so very young is that the people who are raising us are really busy. Yeah, and so they don't actually have time when a little kid has something to do to just stop everything that they're doing and say, "Hey, let me help you with this, and let's make it fun. Let's figure out how to make this a really good time." Because it is a good time, We just haven't seen quite how to do that yet. So let's lay out a plan, and we'll figure out how to make this fun, right? So we'll do something for 15 minutes, say, and then we will run around the block, or we'll dance, or we'll ride the bike as fast as we can, or whatever it is, and then we'll come back and we'll do another 15 minutes, right, until we get through with it. And it'll be such a good time that, you know, we look forward to this because this is the time that we have the time and attention from the grown-ups that we would like to have. But they didn't have time for that, right? And so it was get in there, sit down, and do your homework. And it was just miserable, right? So what you're doing with this, then, is adding in that element of everything is fun if we're doing it with somebody we like who is fun, which is who we want to be, right? We want to be somebody likable who is fun, and what better person to be that person with than ourselves?
Yeah, there's a quote you can buy. Someone on Sangha Market made a card deck of your quotes, and one was, it doesn't matter what you're doing or where you live, all that matters is your relationship with yourself.
Yes. It's all we have in life, and it's all we're going to take with us when we go. Right? That is what it comes down to. Right? And that's what you get to practice with this. Because, you know, if you're, I mean, I don't know what you like to do for fun, but if you're doing what it is that you like to do for fun, you're a fun person, right? You're fun, and you're having fun, right? So that's not a challenge. But when we get into these places where conditioning has been able basically to make us forget that it's our life. So you indicated that you used to love this job.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, out of all the things you could do for a living, this is what you chose, right? And you probably put a lot into getting into this position, right? And then conditioning takes it over and makes it miserable for us. Yeah? So this is why we practice, so that we can take our lives back from that misery machine.
Yeah, there's as you were saying that, I was getting that this thing where conditioning takes over and makes what was previously fun unfun. That's kind of a process that applies to not just work, but kind of everything for me.
Everything. Everything that it can get its claws into. It's what happens with relationships. It's what happens with hobbies, right? People take up things that they, with sports. You know, you take up a sport and you just love it. You just love it. Can't get enough of it. And then conditioning gets hold of it. And pretty soon it turns it into something that you hate and dread after you've invested a ton of money in it.
Yeah, so that kind of covered the three big bases. And, it just seems kind now to being a kind of a cerebral person, the encouragement that a change in behavior, I can't remember how it quite goes, a change in behavior leads to a change in consciousness.
Yeah,
and
that's
practicing
right. That's
that
how
behavioral
we, change. That's right. Go. That's right. So there's a change in consciousness, right? You have an insight. You have a realization about something. You see it. But if there's not a behavior change, conditioning will take that insight away from us and turn it against us.
Mm-hmm. And,
so your orientation now is, how do I make this fun? I know this is fun. I know it's fun because everything is. So how do I have fun with this?
And that's a fun question to bring to life.
It is to everything, right? From brushing your teeth to fixing food to driving in traffic to a presentation. I know that this is fun. I'm not having fun. So what's going on here? Yep, conditioning got hold of it. Okay, great. So how do I bring the fun back? How do I get to a fun place with this? And the fastest way is by being there with somebody with whom we want to have fun. And that person exists within each one of us. For most grown-ups, for most adults, let me say adults, not grown-ups, for most adults, that fun person is kind of history, right? They're just sort of a vague memory of, yeah, I can remember being a kid and being happy. Well, that kid is, you know, that fun, playful, joyful aspect of us is still right there. We just have to choose that over conditioning.
Yeah, always comes down to that choice. So I'm very excited now to go work.
yeah. Well, for you and your little partner in fun there to see together how you want to approach this and make it a supremely good time.
And I've overshot the 5 minutes, but just as kind of a closing comment, the setting that nice limit is setting the 15-minute just a struggle session. It's just, do 15 minutes and we'll take a break. We can do 15 minutes.
That's right. Helps. And then we'll stand up and jump around or go outside and whatever. We'll do something just to change the energy. It's not that we're not having fun doing this, because God knows we are. And then we'll go do something else for fun. And then we'll come back and have more fun with this.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. All right.
Bye-bye. Well, have fun, Dan.
Thank you.
Okay.
Will do.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Dan. That was a very fun conversation, Sherry.
Fun conversation.
Fun.
We have
fun.
All
right. I think we can all take that assignment with us for the week to find fun in everything we do.
Absolutely. Because it is fun. Life is fun. If I'm not having fun, the thing I can know is I'm not with life. I'm with conditioning. Because conditioning, the other thing we know is conditioning is not fun.
That's for sure. I verified that one. Yeah,
right. We've all had that experience, haven't we?
Yeah. So
all right.
The time is now 5:57. Shall we sign off?
I think so. And so the next fun that we have will be this Saturday at the Bridge Walk. Well, we'll have a lot of fun in between, but together, I mean, the next time I have a good time, fun with you, we'll be at the Bridge Walk, so I'm going to look forward to that.
Me too, very much. Thank you, Sherry, and
thank you, Michael.
Everyone. Okay, good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.